Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
Where are all the gutless American wrestlers? Step in the ring with the Baron and face the brave.
The reason why Ax and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am your host, Dave Dynasty. Now, this is a bonus episode that I'm dropping for you. This is the first in our AWA deep dive, and on this episode, we'll be looking at May 1988. May 1988, we're going to begin with Jerry Lawler's world title win over Curt Hennig on May 9th, 1988. I will discuss the TV results, news and rumors pulled from wrestling newsletters, house show results, and plus I'll include a few audio clips. Basically, I'm trying to give a chronological telling of this month in AWA history. Now, people have asked me since I talked about this, Dave, why 1988, right? Come on. The AWA was on the downside. It's on its final years. There's obviously better years of AWA product. True. But I have a soft spot for these late year AWA. Part of it is because I consumed it nonstop. The ESPN program, anything I could get my hands on, read about them in the magazines. And I really enjoyed it. At this time, I was consuming all wrestling that I could get my hands on. And, you know, the AWA was different, right? It was not WWE or NWA, WWF or NWA. It was something different, right? And they had this history that I knew of. And, you know, yeah, the talent was not what it once was, but I still hold that there was some hidden stuff there, right? There is some kind of some chuckle, you know, stuff to chuckle at and everything else. But I have a very nostalgic love of these late years of the AWA. So that's what I'm doing, right? I'm diving into what I enjoy. Before we get into all that, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. The podcast is available on all podcast platforms. When you go there, please make sure you subscribe, rate, review, share, do all those things. Make sure you follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, obviously, at The Dave Dynasty. Subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/TheDaveDynasty. And support the show and go buy a shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/TheDaveDynasty. We have all kinds of shirts to choose from there. And while you're out there, make sure you check out the Ultimate Classic Wrestling channel at classicwrestling.net, or you can download the app on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, iOS mobile, or Android mobile. Low subscription rate, lots of great classic wrestling content, more being uploaded all the time. They have an unreal amount of tape still to put up there, so this is not going to dry up anytime soon. So go subscribe. Best bang for your buck out there. You're going to love it. And also remember that Wrestling Nostalgia is part of the WrestleCopia family of shows. Go check out all the great podcasts and hosts that shine a light on wrestling history. Go to WrestleCopia.com, or you can look up any of the shows on any podcast platform. All right, let's take a quick break. Let me get myself together and ready to go. And when we come back, we are going to dive into AWA of May 1988. This is Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. Hello, I am one of your friends, Dave. I am one of the co-hosts of Listen to Their Screams with my friend Ike, and we want you to come and check us out. We are a fun-filled, positive horror movie podcast that does reviews, news, birthdays, anniversaries. We play games. We are a ton of fun every week for you, the horror fan out there. For all of our links to our social media and the podcast platforms, just check out our link tree. It is linktr.ee/listen2screams. That is listen, the number 2, and screams. Or look us up on your favorite social media platform and podcast provider.
All
right, and we are back. So coming out of the May 9th show, Jerry Lawler obviously won the AWA World Championship in Memphis. He is the AWA World Champion. Bad Company, Paul Diamond and Pat Tanaka, are the World Tag Team Champions, and Greg Gagne was the International TV Champion. Now, the AWA at this time had two TV shows. Rod Trongard and Lee Marshall handled the majority of the commentary. Larry Nelson hosted, did ring announcing, some of the interviews, things like that. And the shows featured various segments. They were hosted by Greg Gagne, typically did a segment called Matt Classic. Big K, Stan Kowalski, did one called, I think it was called Big K Knows. I don't know if the title was ever set in stone, but it was something like that. And Danya Gagne did a Fan of the Week segment. And by this time, all of the TV tapings were being done at the Showboat Arena in Las Vegas. Now, there's the syndicated show, All-Star Wrestling, which is the one that they had run for you know, a long time, decades at this point, right? Their flagship show, so to speak.
Welcome to Las Vegas, Nevada, the entertainment capital of the world, home to movie stars, entertainment leaders, and the American Wrestling Association, the Major League of Professional Wrestling, seen by you, the greatest wrestling fans in the world, in the United States, Europe, United Kingdom, South America, Japan, the Middle East. Now, let's go to the Showboat Hotel and Casino.
And then there's the one that lots of people are familiar with, the Championship Wrestling Show, which was on ESPN.
AWA Championship Wrestling. The AWA presents the greatest stars in professional wrestling, bringing you the best in mat action.
So let's dive into some of these. We'll start with some TV results. Just ramble through them really quick. On the May 14th All-Star Wrestling TV episode, Mondo Guerrero defeated Alex Knight. Brian Knobbs defeated Samoan Joe. That's right. There was a wrestler named Samoan Joe. Not that Samoa Joe. Samoan Joe. T-Jo Khan over Ricky Itake. The Rock and Roll Express over Mike Richards and Crusher Krugerrath. Paul Diamond over Greg Gagne by DQ for the international TV title after Marty Jannetty interferes. That was continuing on the feud with the Bad Company and the Midnight Rockers, who, as of the airing of the show, are still associated with the AWA. Plus, the show featured interviews with Bad Company and Dallas Page, Greg Gagne, Baron Von Raschke, Kurt Hennig, Wahoo McDaniel. A lot of these interviews are segues to commercial breaks or, you know, coming back from a commercial break. They're just little sound bites, little short promos that these guys did that were kind of a picture-in-picture type thing or whatever you want to call them, inset, VEO, I don't know what you call them. But a lot of them they use as transitions to and from breaks. But there was also an interview conducted by Bill Apter of the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, you know, in the sister publications, talking to the new World Heavyweight Champion, Jerry Lawler. So let's listen to that audio real quick.
For Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine and the AWA, this is senior editor Bill Apter. As everyone knows, Jerry Lawler beat Kurt Hennig for the AWA World Heavyweight Championship. It's my pleasure right now on press conference to speak to the new world champion, Jerry Lawler. Congratulations, champ.
Thanks very much, Bill. It sounds really, really great to hear those words come out of your mouth there. Jerry Lawler beat Kurt Hennig for the AWA World Heavyweight Championship, and this is something that's been 14 years in the making, 14 years coming, a 14 years struggle for, and all I can tell Kurt Hennig and everybody else, not only in the AWA, but I don't care what wrestler anywhere that wants to challenge me for this, like I said, it's been a 14-year struggle to get it. And if you think it's not going to be a struggle to take it away from me, you got another thing coming.
Okay, and Lawler obviously in that interview stressing how he'd been pursuing a world championship for his entire career, which is true. And finally achieved it, won it in Memphis at home, and he says, you know, that he's going to hold that for a long time to come, which was not necessarily as true as he would like it to be. So let's transition on. May 14th, the Championship Wrestling TV episode. Bad Company over Bill Anderson and Alex Knight. Rocky Mountain Thunder over Mike Richards. Now, do you guys remember Rocky Mountain Thunder? This this apparently this gimmick, the Rocky Mountain Thunder gimmick, was developed for, oh, I can't remember his name, a former football player who ended up not coming to the AWA. So they slapped it on a guy who apparently had been doing some enhancement work previously to them, is a big guy, right? He was a big guy, and they called him Rocky Mountain Thunder, and he was kind of this, what you would think. Not really a hillbilly, but kind of a mountain wildernessy type guy, right? Carried some kind of burlap sack to the ring, you know, wore jean cutoffs and whatever else. Some of the fans were okay to it, but the reception was a little lukewarm. And part of that stemmed from the fact that, boy, Rocky Mountain Thunder was a little bit rough in the ring. And by a little bit, I mean a whole lot. He was, not very talented, really didn't get the gimmick over well. But Vern tried and sticks with him for a while. So we'll talk more about Rocky Mountain Thunder in future episodes, I am sure. Sold out Ustinov over Houdini. Mm-hmm. They had a wrestler named Houdini. And one thing you're going to notice, if you watch these AWA episodes, one thing that's funny is the graphics on the screen, right, where they type the names of the wrestlers, the overlays and things. Whoever did these, and I'm not sure, I'll look into this to see if I can figure out who, had some weird issue or something with spelling. There are times on some of these episodes where, like, Tejo Khan, right? You know, there's Tejo, T-E-I-J-O, Tejo. But no. On AWA, sometimes he was T period Joe, J-O-E, Tejo Khan, like literally phonetically spelled out. It's very, very weird. Houdini sometimes was just H-U-D-I-N-I. On here, even though he wore a jacket that said Houdini, H-O-U-D-I-N-I on the back. I don't know, hey, do they think what, the Harry Houdini's estate was going to, come after them? Or were they just saying, oh, Houdini, and sounding it out? Given some of the other things that were typed on here, I'm thinking that whoever did these graphics and overlays just sounded it out and phonetically put what they thought, how they thought it should be spelled. And apparently nobody was quality checking them for spelling. So you see a lot of that in this era in these AWA TV programs. We have a Matt Classic match, Bobby Duncombe over Pat O'Connor. The Midnight Rockers over Jim Evans and Tom Stone. Ricky Rice over Brian Knobs by DQ. Ricky Rice we'll talk about a lot in coming episodes because Ricky Rice is one of their young talents that they actually tried to get behind, who had an iota of talent, right, and formed a pretty interesting tag team with Derek Dukes called the Top Guns. And they get a good run in the AWA and, really kind of get over the fans. They are kind of exciting. They're green, but there's some potential there. So, that's some young talent that Vern and company were getting behind that had some potential. Of course, Brian Knobs of the Nasty Boys, they're still here in the AWA, not for a long time though. There are interviews on the show with Kurt Hennig, the Midnight Rockers, the Rock and Roll Express. There's a repeat of the Bill Apter talking to Jerry Lawler interview. And then there's also another interview with Bad Company and Dallas Page and his Diamond Doll. Let's listen to that real quick.
Hey, dude, Diamond Dallas Page here, the AWA's Diamond Exchange. And I'm here with the tag team champs of the world, Bad Company, the lovely Diamond Doll. We're about to come on a world tour. We're heading to Great Britain, Italy. It don't matter where we go, because these boys have been training harder and harder every day. I've had them down deep in the diamond mine. That's right, baby. Deep in the diamond mine. And they've been working out hard and feeling good. But it doesn't stop there. We got plenty of pleasure on the way. Limos, jets, you name it. Midnight Rockers, eat your heart out. We ain't never signing with you.
All right, there you go. It's a Dallas Page, right, who had made an attempt to get into wrestling previously to this. Didn't work out. Handsome Dallas Page, didn't work out, did a lot of things with nightclubs, whatever else, stayed very close to a lot of wrestlers, very interested in wrestling, and then came back into it at this time in the AWA as a manager, obviously. While he's not fully formed yet, you can still see, man, that Dallas Page has the gift of gab, right, can talk. And he's still, he's bigger, right, bigger than a lot of these wrestlers, and obviously has a very unique look about him. So we obviously know Dallas Page would go on to have not a necessarily lengthy career, but a very big and very successful career in professional wrestling. So the day these were aired on May 14th, the AWA also held their next round of TV tapings in Las Vegas, and we'll be discussing all those results in the future when we discuss when they air on those TV episodes. There are, you'll find at this time the AEW is working, obviously, right, with Lawler's champion, working a lot with Memphis. And while the AEW is not running very many house shows at all, right, they're just not. They're doing some spot shows here and there, but not a whole heck of a lot. You will see, though, some of the AWA talent, and particularly, you know, sometimes the AWA champions, are appearing on the Memphis shows. So we've got a few of those here coming up in this week, right? May 16th in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Mid-South Coliseum, AWA champion Jerry Lawler defeated Bill Dundee. And also on the card, the CWA champion Max Payne defeated Curt Hennig by disqualification. Now, I'm not going to give you full results of these shows, just hitting the highlights of the AWA talents that are there working. On May 18th in Evansville, Indiana, the AWA champion Jerry Lawler defeated Bill Dundee, and Curt Hennig defeated Scott Steiner. How cool would that have been, right? In 1988, a young Scott Steiner wrestling a very, you know, approaching his prime Curt Hennig. That probably was a very, very fun match to see at that time in Evansville. On May 21st in Nashville, Tennessee, the AWA champion Jerry Lawler defeated Bill Dundee. So there you see, you know, Lawler is out defending the title in Memphis. Obviously, the championship's all over Memphis TV. He, you know, he's plugging it there, you know, trying to get exposure. We know the future holds lots more, you know, appearances in other promotions, other regions, other territories, so to speak. So we'll talk about those as those develop in the future. On May 21st, the All-Star Wrestling TV episode aired, Rocky Mountain Thunder over Kevin Collins. Once again, Rocky Mountain Thunder was Dean LaRosa. He was trained by Eddie Sharkey. He passed away in 2002. He did appear in the movie Lone Tiger in 1996. And here you go. Here I got the notes. The gimmick was intended for football player Greg Boyd, who no-showed, so that's why they gave it to La Rosa. So there you go. I put the notes apparently in this match and not the other. So there you go. But again, we'll talk plenty about Rocky Mountain Thunder because the AW really got behind the guy, tried to make it work. It just never clicked for multiple reasons. But we'll talk plenty about him as things develop. Also on this TV episode, Jerry Lawler defeated Daryl Nickel. Ricky Chosu and Mr. Saito defeated Louis Spicoli and Houdini. And yes, this is the Louis Spicoli that later wrestled in the WWF as Rad Radford, as well as notable runs in ECW and WCW. Matt Classic match featured Mad Dog Vachon over Nick Bockwinkel by disqualification. And then Paul Diamond defeated Derek Dukes. There's Derek Dukes again, one half of the tag team known as Top Gun with Ricky Rice, who we'll see plenty of in upcoming episodes as Vern really got behind those two kids, tried to push them, tried to utilize them, and showcase them a lot on his TV in the coming year, you know, couple year or so. Now, there were interviews on the show with Bad Company Dallas Page again, T. Joe Kahn and Soldat Ustinov, Brandy May, Medusa Michelli, and Debbie Combs, an interview with Jerry Lawler, and one from Cool Curt Hennig, the former AWA champion. Let's listen to Curt now.
All the bid team in from all over the United States for the Hennig-Gagne title match. Well, things have changed, Mr. Gagne, and now I understand that in England and in Germany and in France, they're bidding for a title match, and the title match is between Hennig and Lawler now. Let me tell you something, Jerry Lawler. I don't care where I have to travel to wrestle you to get that belt back. But I will guarantee you one thing. If I have to travel to England and if I have to be in Italy, these are going to be under my stipulations and my rules. See, I am the new boss of professional wrestling. And I think that I'm going to remain that way for a long, long time, see? Because whenever I said I'm going to do something, I've went out and I've done it. And then you sneak right in underneath everybody, and you stole the title from me. Well, Jerry Lawler, I don't care who's in the way. Wahoo McDaniel, Baron Von Raschke, T.J. Khan, Soldat Ustinov. You name them all. I'm the man that belongs on top, and I'm the man that will remain on top.
Okay, then let's move on to the May 21st Championship Wrestling TV episode, which I honestly, I believe this was preempted or something. I cannot find the episode or any info on it. I've asked everybody I know, looked everywhere I can figure, searched results for this TV, cannot find anything on it. So my gut says this ESPN May 21st Championship Wrestling TV episode didn't occur, didn't air. If anybody has this episode or has any information on it, please get with me. I would love to be wrong, right? I'd love to see it. All right, from the May 23rd Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer writes, that the May 9th show in Memphis, Tennessee, which drew an estimated 9 to 10,000 fans, seeing Jerry Lawler defeat Curt Hennig for the AWA title. Jackie Fargo was the referee for that match. So pretty good draw there in Memphis for them. Obviously, the Memphis crowd was hot for Lawler to win the AWA title. Lawler was the hometown brand, right? The hometown guy. Seeing him win a world championship, even if it was the AWA, which, you know, like we said, was on the decline, was still important, still big to these Memphis fans. The AWA TV tapings that we spoke of that were held on May 14th at the Showboat Arena in Las Vegas, the attendance was said to be 750 fans at those tapings. And there were some no-shows expected to be there but did not appear were the Midnight Rockers, Manny Fernandez, Wahoo McDaniel, and the Nasty Boys. The Midnight Rockers have said to have quit the AWA at this time because they're unhappy with their contract offer. So while we just saw them on a TV episode, Marty Jannetty make the save, it does not look like anything further will come from that, as the Rockers are soon to be WWF bound. The Nasty Boys are said to have been fired. Not sure if that's just a result of the no-shows or what it is, but we also do know that in the near future, the Nasty Boys will appear in the WWF. And Wahoo McDaniel is still said to be with the AWA as he was announced for the next show. So whatever his no-show or missing was, either was excused or forgiven by Vern and the AWA, and he was announced for the next show. He will be around for a little bit longer. On May 23rd in Memphis, Tennessee at the Mid-South Coliseum, there was another show held. The AWA Tag Team Champions Bad Company, Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond, defeated Bob Holly and Pat Rose. Yep, Bob Holly, the future Hardcore Holly. That's who that is. He's here. Challenging with Pat Rose for the AWA Tag Titles unsuccessfully. Tommy Gilbert defeated Paul Diamond in a singles match, and Brickhouse Brown defeated Pat Tanaka in a singles match. And you know, man, I'm telling you, Brickhouse Brown versus Pat Tanaka would be fun because I am low-key a fan of both those guys. I think they're underappreciated, undervalued, very, very entertaining. I would love to see that Brickhouse Brown Pat Tanaka match. That would be fun, at least for me as a fan to watch. May 28th, the All-Star TV Wrestling TV episode, Derek Dukes and Ricky Rice, the Top Guns, over Handsome Harry and Daryl Nickel. Guys, Handsome Harry, clearly an ironic nickname because Harry's not very handsome. And I love guys that have nicknames like this, right? Because they stick in your head, Handsome Harry. But it just makes me chuckle. Curt Hennig defeated Kevin Collins. Bad Company defeated Greg Robertson and Houdini. The Matt Classic match was Buck Zumoff over Jacques Goulet. Debbie Combs defeated Brandy May. But we had interviews on the show with, again, Bad Company and Dallas Page, Wahoo McDaniel, Curt Hennig, and T. Joe Kahn and Soldat Ustinov. Now, guys, I don't know the public perception of T. Joe Kahn and Soldat Ustinov. I personally, I was so behind these guys in the AWA. I don't know why. I just thought the Foreign Menace at that time, although it was a little dated, whatever else, I thought they clicked. I thought they worked as a good tag team. They weren't the greatest talkers. They weren't the greatest workers, but I thought they had a great look. I thought they were actually more impressive than some of the other AWA talent. And while they do get a lot of exposure, right, they do get a lot of TV time. They get interview time. I always thought that Ustinov and Khan should have got a run at the AWA tag titles, and it never happened. As we'll see. I thought it was a little weird. Let's listen to that audio now.
American Bags of the Pennsylvania of the Ohio. You will stand up with Soldat Ustinov and T.J. coming to ring. But there is question. Why are we not champions, tag team champions of the AWA? That company, you will pay the price. You have seen the wrath of Khan and Soldat Ustinov. And Jerry Lawler, the question is, where is the king? Where is the king?
All right, and moving on. The May 28th Championship Wrestling TV episode, Baron Von Raschke over Crusher Krugerhoff. Yes, Baron is still around. He's still here. He's carrying a baseball bat with him on these shows. a little unique. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that's something we've previously missed prior to the May stuff. But you know, Baron was over, right? Baron was known to these AWA fans. And the funny thing is, with Baron, you know, he never had that, you know, this really impressive physique or anything else like that. So as he got older, there, you know, he didn't lose anything like that, right? He still pretty much looked like the Baron, and he still did Baron stuff. And but he was very over the AWA fans, and he was still there at this time. Sold out Ustinov defeated Greg Robertson. Jerry Lawler defeated Dennis Stamp, and this is the Dennis Stamp who became widely known for his appearance in the 1999 documentary Beyond the Mat. I wasn't booked Terry guy. He's here. The Mat Classic match is Jim Brunzell and Greg Gagne, the High Flyers, defeating Rick Martel and Tito Santana, the future Strike Force. So that would have been it's a very cool match. Go check that out if you can. And Tejo Khan and Ricky Rice had a double DQ. There were interviews on the show with Tejo Khan and Soldat Ustinov, Bad Company and Dallas Page, Kurt Hennig, and Medusa Michelli, who at this time is a heel. She is the AWA champion. She's got Brandy May, who has come over from GLOW, who's now working in the AWA, as a kind of a lead challenger to her. Medusa has Debbie Combs kind of at her side, kind of as a, whatever you want to call it, muscle bodyguard, protector type role a bit. But let's listen to these comments from Medusa Michelli.
That's right. The best looking woman in professional wrestling today, Medusa Michelli, here to tell you to watch soon. I will be defending my title against Heidi Lee Morgan and all you housewives out there. You ought to be slapped upside down and on the other. Grab your husband and put him in front of the TV on a couch with some pillows and get relaxed, because he's going to take a look at a real woman. And not only am I here to tell you that I'm defending my title, I will also be starring in a movie traveling to Japan and Middle East.
Okay, May 29th in Memphis, Tennessee at the Mid-South Coliseum, a card was held featuring the AWA champion Jerry Lawler defeating Dutch Mantel. AWA Tag Team Champions Bad Company, Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond, defeated Gary Young and Don Bass. From the May 30th Wrestling Observer, there was said to be so much heat between the AWA and the Midnight Rockers that the AWA and Vern Gagne, who own the name Midnight Rockers, are considering forming a new Midnight Rockers with new wrestlers. We'll see what develops there. To my knowledge, that never happened. I don't recall there ever being another Midnight Rockers, but I can't say 100%. We will see as we watch these future TV episodes. Apparently Vern is super upset with Marty and Sean for turning down his offer and leaving the AWA. Oh, Vern, oh, Vern, oh, Vern. All right, so that pretty much wraps up the action for the shortened month of May. We, obviously, almost 2 weeks into the month where we picked up after Lawler winning the title. So we did miss some of May. This is a kind of an abbreviated show because of that. In the future, these shows will be, you know, much longer as we dive deeper into some of this stuff because more is developing, right? There's not a whole lot at this juncture, right? It's a transition with Lawler as champ, some guys going, you know, leaving the company, whatever else. But as Vern and the AWA look to bring in more guys to fill some of these holes, there will be more in the newsletters to talk about. There are a few more events coming up. There's, you know, a Build a Super Clash coming up in the future, things like that. So there will be more meat to talk about. This May month is it's just very light, right? There's not a lot happening outside the regular TV episodes, which there's not a whole lot developing there. The whole center is around Lawler winning the title. There is a new set of television tapings, which are, you know, look pretty good, that are coming up in the future that we'll be talking about. But there's just not a lot of meat. And again, like I said, we picked up, you know, almost 2 weeks into May already, because I didn't want to. I'm starting with Lawler winning the title. So, you know, that's why, you know, this episode's a little lighter, a little shorter than it will be in the future. But it gives you kind of a basis for what we're going to be doing. We're going to be taking what I did today, but there'll be further dives into it, because there'll be a little more meat on the bones to discuss and work with. I do hope maybe on some of these deep dives to maybe have some guests, some interviews with some of these guys who worked in the AWA at that time. There is the possibility of that. I'm looking into that concept. Maybe I'll have some guest co-hosts. Who knows what we'll do in the future with this. One thing we will be doing is I will be taking questions around the time period. And I had two questions come in discussing this time in AWA. Lance Lumley on Facebook said, would Jerry Lawler have become the AWA champion if Curt Hennig was not heading to the WWF? Would we have seen a longer Lawler-Hennig program? Of course, this is all speculation here on this part. I don't know, right? Because Kurt's not immediately out the door after dropping the belt. So I don't know where in the process of Vern's knowledge of Kurt's departure this is when he drops this belt, right? There is a, he does make the next, the TV tapings we spoke of. So there is a little bit of a gap there. So I definitely think probably the Lawler Hennig thing would have ran longer because, you know, again, it is not that far in the future that Hennig does leave. So I think it probably would have ran longer if Hennig had chose to stay full time. My gut says Hennig probably wouldn't have won the belt back from Lawler at some point. But again, just pure speculation. And I'm not even so sure that anybody in the AWA at that time had thought that through that much anyway to know for sure definitively what they would have done. As you will see with lots of this, there is clearly a fly by the seat of your pants mentality that they kind of haven't had, right? In some instances, they're in a bit of a survival mode, right? Because they're trying to regather themselves, rebuild themselves, reestablish themselves. They clearly have a platform with their syndicated TV show and on ESPN. They're just trying to develop some talent, trying to find some talent. To do that, though, it takes money. To have money, you have to obviously draw, but they're not having a lot of shows. They're not drawing that well. So it's this vicious circle of they've got the platform, but they just are having trouble putting a competitive product out there. They take some swings in the coming, these last few years. Some work okay, some aren't bad. Some are scratch your head questionable, but they're all fun to discuss, and we will talk about those coming up in the future. Also had a question from Brad Drake on Facebook. Why was the AWA ESPN show taped at the Showboat in Las Vegas and not within their territory? I believe this was a kind of a, I don't want to say mandate, but a suggestion very heavily from ESPN. They wanted something that felt a little showier, a little flashier, a little more entertainment, something that, felt a little bigger than, we're taping in some town in Minnesota or wherever it may be. And obviously Las Vegas has that that vibe, that feel, that, when you say it, it's the entertainment capital. So I believe this was something that was very, very strongly put down from ESPN of, hey, if you're going to continue to have this show or if you're going to have this show, continue on, we need to, let's do it here. Let's tape here and do this. So, all right. So if you have any questions, like I said, hit me up on social media about future months coming up, and I will answer those in the appropriate time frame of the episode. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to close the show out.
Gene Jackson here, inviting you to join us for the Retro Wrestling Review Podcast, where each week I'm joined by guest co-host to review and discuss old school pro wrestling. Right now, we're doing week-by-week reviews of USWA Memphis from 1993. We have an audio version of the podcast as well as a video version if you want to check out the clips of the show we're talking about. It's a lot of fun, so for this and a lot of other great wrestling content, check out WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com.
All right, and I'm back here. Thank you for joining us for this AWA deep dive into May 1988. Again, I know this episode seems short for a quote-unquote deep dive. I understand that. That is just kind of the nature of the beast because of May 1988. You heard there's just not a lot happening, right? Only a couple references in the new Observers. Not really any house shows to speak of that are AWA solely. The only kind of house show type things are just a couple of the titles and wrestlers appearing on Memphis shows. They're very right now in this almost a limbo state as they attempt to partner with Memphis to get regain their footing, right? And we all know the partnership with Memphis doesn't last, you know, a super long time. It ends up, you know, kind of splitting somewhat. There is a little crossover for a while, but so don't let the shorter length of this episode fool you. Again, like I said, it was also the fact that, you know, Jerry Lawler won the title on May 9th. The next week were the first TV episodes after that. So I was, you know, we were 2 weeks, 14 days, pretty much into May before I picked up the coverage here. So again, it was, you know, we're talking, you know, a third of the month that we didn't discuss because I was starting with that, you know, Lawler title win. So the future episodes will be a little longer. There'll be, like I said, more to talk about, more to dive into. So hang in there, there's lots of goodies, lots of tidbits to talk about. Right now, we're just kind of setting the stage to you know, build upon. Like I said earlier, follow me on X at the Dave Dynasty. Go check out all the WrestleCopia network of podcasts. This is a bonus episode this coming week, or the week we're in. Right, this is dropping on a Monday. On Wednesday, our normal episode will drop of Wrestling Nostalgia. My guest is Wildcat Wendell Cooley. We have a very cool interview with him. He has a lot of great stories and not afraid to talk. It was great chatting with Wendell, having him on. So go check that out this coming Wednesday. And until then, guys, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we've brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Menninger thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.